Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
We're celebrating our nation's birthday in just a few days. I felt it would be appropriate to preach a message from Luke chapter 4. You can turn there with me. I'm entitled at Liberty. Liberty. It's the greatest nation in the world that we live in. And perhaps that's not your opinion or sentiment. And usually that's the case with people that have never been anywhere outside the nation. If you travel anywhere outside of the United States of America, you realize, oh, God bless America. Oh, we are fraught with difficulties and we have lots of problems and divisions and all kinds of things. And yes, there's schisms and debauchery and all kinds of problems like that. There's corruption and there's theft. But at the heart of America is the Constitution of the United States of America and our founding fathers, most of them being believers, not perfect men, wrote that Constitution. And it's just absolutely a profound supernatural document. It's the longing, lasting constitution of any nation in the world. And there are people that would try to revise our history. You want to be sure to teach your kids the history of the United States of America. And one of the things I love to study is the history of revival and awakening in the United States. And I talked about that a little bit on Sunday, because I believe we're headed for another great awakening. And I will tell you that the only hope for America is not coming from the White House, as thankful as I am that Roe versus Wade and different things are being overturned. I'm thankful for righteousness based upon God's word is being declared, and not a perfect president at all, but I'm very grateful for many of the things that I believe should be instituted back into our nation are being instituted back in our nation. I'm so glad that there's not, listen to this. This might not make you happy, but you need healing if that's the case. There's not a hospital in the land that'll do a gender surgery anymore. There's not one. There's not one. And abortion clinics have closed all over. And people have been defunded. Come on, somebody say, praise the Lord. And there's a turnaround in education. I'm so grateful for what God's doing in the King's Christian School, Alaska, and our brand new building that's being painted, a new carpet, if you haven't heard. It's about 4 miles away. It's appraised at $10.5 million building, and God is allowing us to move in at no expense of ours, and we're funded to be able to be in there. It's a miracle of God. I said it's a miracle of God. And the reason is because there's a generation that's hearing the good news of Jesus and being taught and instructed in a way that matters. This is not 1950 anymore. And there's so much weirdness out there. And so I'm grateful for the history of our nation. And I'm grateful for the revival that took place in the 1730s. Men like Jonathan Edwards, they didn't have any microphones. There was no outside preaching. That was like breakthrough when they decided to preach outside. If you go read the history of Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield and different revivalists, they preached what is called extemporaneously, very bold, very loud. And they would preach for hours, no microphones. People would come from all over to hear them. They'd stand on hills because they couldn't fit inside church buildings, and then churches wouldn't let them in. They were just religious and didn't want to hear his extemporaneous style. And America experienced an awakening, a great awakening. It's because of the Great Awakening in the 1730s that you have a document written, signed, and July 4th, 1776, that changed the course of history. And if you read, and I would encourage you, with your kids, read the Constitution. Read it. Read through it. Read the Declaration of Independence. Read the Constitution. Work through it. Have your kids study it. It really is quite amazing. And if you look at the signers of the Constitution, the price they paid. Those that signed the Declaration of Independence, the price that they paid. 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. Here, listen to this. Five were captured by British, tortured, and died. 12 of their homes were ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary War. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. They signed, they pledged their lives. They used words like their sacred honor. They used words like God's providence. What kind of men were they? 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers and large plantation owners, men of means, well-educated. They signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty of death would be upon them for signing. Well, why would they do that? Because they believed in something called liberty, because they believed in something called freedom, that which is so near and dear to us in the United States of America. And it would not be near and dear to you if you lost it. It's just, I don't know. My father raised me. He was a Marine, is a Marine. He's 88. He sang me happy birthday today. It's my birthday. Thank you for all the birthday wishes. I'm 60 and feel like I'm 25, maybe after I have a few cups of coffee in the morning, I feel like I'm 25. I was raised, you take your hat off when you come into a building. I was raised that when you put your hand over your heart when you sing the national anthem. I was raised certain things were like non-negotiable. I mean, the day that you took a knee when they sang the national anthem is a cold day. It was like God and country, that's how it was. But it's changed. Things have changed. But they fought for liberty. There's all kinds of sacrifices for the Revolutionary War, and there's a lot of things that they didn't do was right. Slavery was wrong. There's a lot of things that were not right, but there was a lot of things that were right. Liberty is an idea that comes from the Word of God, and that's where they got it from. Stand up on your feet with me, please. Turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4, if you're able to stand. If it's difficult, please, not necessary. Luke chapter 4, go down to the 14th verse. Jesus returned, Luke 4, 14, New King James Version. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went throughout all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up and read. And it was handed to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Let's read it together. Verse 18. Read it out loud like you mean it. Ready, set, go. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Can you say hallelujah? Verse 20. "And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendants, and sat down. And the eyes of all of him who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" Gracious, awesome, mighty God, move in power tonight. All those online, those in India, those in the Philippines, wherever this is being broadcast on all of our platforms, here in this great sanctuary, give us living understanding, Lord. And change us through this message, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Again, we have notes for you and would encourage you to use those as we move along. In order for freedom to reign, a war was fought and won. And that's the case with the American Revolution, and that's the case with you and me. We don't just get freedom because we showed up. We get freedom because of what Jesus has done. And this nation was freed from tyranny because of an American Revolution. Impossible odds. Strongest nation in the world. And somehow we won. Over and over and over. In fact, you study the lives of men like George Washington, our first president. Did you know that he would pull his troops aside, preach the gospel, and said the most important thing is that you're born again, more so than being an American citizen? When you read about documents and what took place and how God answered prayer and how they escaped from the British and the Delaware, all across the Delaware on a winter's night, over and over and over, you see the hand of God, they called it the providence of God, moving in the lives of these colonial army and breaking the bonds of tyranny. It is what Jesus has done. In order for us to have freedom, there had to be a war, and a war was fought, and Jesus won it all. Can you say amen? Where did these signers get the idea of liberty from? I mentioned it just a minute ago. But I'm going to read you some of these quotes. And I've done this before, but it's just so powerful. Samuel Adams. It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. Samuel Adams. Thomas Jefferson said, every citizen should be a soldier. And this is the case with the Greeks, with the Romans, and must be that of every free state. Patrick Henry said this, is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Abraham Lincoln. America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. There's many, many quotes throughout history that are powerful in the Declaration of Freedom and Liberty. Galatians 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Galatians 5 and 13, for you've been called to live in freedom. What have you been called to live in? Freedom. My brothers and sisters. But don't lose your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. The whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. John 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you or set you free. So look at the text, Jesus is returned in the power of the Spirit after 40 days being tempted. The power of the Spirit's different than just the Spirit. The power of the Spirit. He beats the devil on his home playing field. And he returns to Nazareth. And he goes to the synagogue. And he reads the messianic prophecy out of Isaiah. Jesus proclaims, in your notes now, as we look at the text, Jesus proclaims liberty. Jesus, you can put / freedom. There is freedom found in Jesus and freedom found in nothing else. So we celebrate the liberty of the liberty we have in the United States of America, understand that that idea actually came from the Lord. It came from Scripture. It was like a declaration of independence being read there in that synagogue by the Lord. Today it's fulfilled in your hearing. God sent his only son to die for you and me. He was crucified, and yet on the third day he rose again. When you read this passage, you can't get away from the beauty of it. In Romans 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. It's one thing to talk about freedom. It's quite another actually to live it, to demonstrate it. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus demonstrated freedom. Jesus lived in freedom. Fulfilling every jot, every tittle, fulfilling everything that the Father had called him to do. He demonstrated freedom. And everywhere he went, they set the captives free. Did you know where the gospel is preached, there should be freedom? Where Jesus is declared, there should be liberty. And if you look throughout the cultures of the world, you'll see it. I've shared it before. It's called elevation and lift. Wherever the gospel, wherever the good news comes into a culture, the culture completely changes. People begin to work. People begin to get jobs. Home life improves. Why? Because if you get rid of that foul heart and you get a new one, you're not going to beat your wife anymore. You're not going to, hello, not that you're beating your wife, but I'm making an example. If you get set free, you don't do the things that hurt other people. All of a sudden, your conscience changes and you live for God and you want to obey him and you work and you serve. You don't steal anymore and you don't get drunk anymore and you don't smoke weed anymore. You stop that and you start living for God, and it brings a transformation to a whole culture where the gospel comes in. It's called elevation and lift. And I've told you stories about that African tribe, and they used to file their teeth to scare away demons. And then the missionaries noticed they stopped filing their teeth. They had a revival. All these native Africans, begins with an A. They stopped filing their teeth, and they said, why don't you file your teeth? They said, we don't need to. We used to file our teeth to scare away demons, but now Jesus has taken all the demons away. And they don't need it. Literally, the good news of Jesus brings freedom. He demonstrates freedom. Luke 4, verse 1 through 13. He overcomes temptation. He overcomes Satan's temptation. When you yield to temptation, you lose your freedom. Can I say that again? I'll say it this side. When you yield to temptation, you lose your freedom. It's like putting the shackles on again. The devil's a bad devil. John 8 and 34, very verily I tell you, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. He showed a pattern. He showed a pattern of freedom in Luke 4, verse 31 to 37. He cast a demon out of a man in the synagogue. Somebody said, Pastor, is there ever deliverance in our church? Literally, every service. Really? I don't see anybody slithering. That's good. You don't want to see that. Does that happen? Periodically. Somebody said, oh, they don't see that kind of manifestation of the devil in churches in America anymore. And they said, Pastor, why don't you see it? I said, well, it's because everybody has a cell phone. It's kind of a joke. They get lost in their cell phone. And here they isolated into what some are calling pictophilia, an addiction to pixels. Jesus cast a devil out of someone in a synagogue and blew their minds. There is demon power, and there is freedom that's found in Jesus and Jesus alone. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. At the name of Jesus, demons flee. The name of Jesus, sickness goes. The name of Jesus, there's freedom, there's hope, there's deliverance. Can someone say hallelujah? All right. And so he sets this man free. He's come to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the chains, the shackles, those who've been bound by the devil. Luke 4 and verse 38 and 39, you see Peter's mother-in-law. She's healed, and by Peter rebuking the fever. Let's look at that. Luke 4, verse 38. He rose from the synagogue and, entered Simon Peter's house. But Simon Peter's mother was sick with a fever. He made the request him concerning her, so he stood over her. That's Jesus. Jesus stands over her, not Peter, And he rebuked. Everybody say rebuked. Well, that's not a word we use all that much. It's a very strong word. It's a violent word. It's a word that's used for speaking to darkness, really. He casts a he's rebuking a fever. A fever is an inanimate thing, right? Well, now you don't rebuke soap dishes. He's rebuking a spirit behind a fever. He rebukes it. It's a picture of authority. It's a picture of power. Sometimes you have to point at the enemy and rebuke him. Say, no, command you to go. I was talking to a guy in the sauna, and we were discussing, he's trained a long time, very disciplined man with his nutrition, very disciplined in all his training. And we're sitting there, and I said to him, I said, man, you're getting after it. He said, yeah, you're getting after it too. I said, yeah, absolutely. He says, you know, sometimes I talk to myself. I know that's weird. I said, that's not weird. He said, it's not. I said, no. He said, you talk to yourself? I said, oh, yeah. Every healthy Christian talks to themselves. He said, is there a biblical precedent for that? Absolutely. Well, where is it? I'm going to tell you. If you look in the Psalms, I mean, there's many different places, but you look at the Psalms, one of my favorite, David says, why are you so downcast? Put your hope in God. He rebukes himself. I mean, it's like, he's like, stop it. Come on, some of you need to take your right hand with exceeding force and just hit yourself upside the head. And don't do that. But spiritually, you should do it. And we were talking how in the gym where you can just get in there and it's a long, long day. It's the end of the day. It's maybe 7 p.m. and you're trying to push some weight or do something that you just really don't feel like doing. You want to just go home and, you know, watch a Hallmark movie or something. And you're sitting there motivating yourself. I talk to myself. And so I get underweight. I can't do it. And I'm like, in the name. These things going up. You did 3 before. You're doing 4. I'll do all kinds of crazy stuff. I'll be like, 1, 2, 3, 4. You're doing 4. In the name of the Lord. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? He's saying, I do that too. I said, yes, every champion talks to himself. And there's times where you need to rebuke yourself, and there's times where you need to rebuke something that might have come on you, an attitude. Come on, if you haven't told yourself to shut up, that might be a problem. You should tell yourself to sit down and shut it. You ever talk nonsense to yourself? Are you just like, stop it? Okay. Luke 4 and 40, that we call these, I call these the sunset healings. Luke 4, 40 to 41 is sunset healings. And when the sun set, because they felt like he wouldn't do it on the Sabbath. So when the sun sets, then he starts releasing his power. Deliverances, Luke 5 and 20. He forgave their sins and healed a lame man. Jesus provided, right there, Roman numeral 3, Jesus provided liberty. What did he provide? Liberty. And I'm using that because it's July 4th and it just works. The greatest July 4th that there ever was. The greatest purchase of liberty. It's way more than our nation. It's Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. He's the one that gives really liberty. He's the one that gives it. Liberty is freedom. Come on, somebody say freedom. Freedom. He provided freedom. He provided liberty through his death, through his resurrection to all who believe on him. Hebrews 2 and 14, inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through his death he might destroy the power of death, that is, the devil, and release, everybody say release, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. John 3 and 3 reads, Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Just as the liberties are expressed to us as citizens of the United States of America, because we're citizens of the United States, we're living in this country. The same is true. Watch the bouncing ball. The same is true. If you don't receive Jesus, you're not a citizen of heaven, and you have no freedom from him. But it's offered to you. It's offered to you. I want that. I'm glad you do. How do you receive it? You repent. You believe on Jesus. You get born again. For God so loved the world, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Our freedoms have always been threatened in the United States, and now more than ever, there's this crazy communist socialist movement, especially in the Democratic Party. Even the Democrats are like upset about it. Democratic Party is taking quite a turn. We need to vote the principles and the truths found in God's word, Republican or Democrat, please don't get me wrong. You don't vote color of skin, you vote the issues, you vote righteousness based on God's word. That's it. And you'll stand before God, as will I, for how we voted. And it used to be, I'm Irish Catholic. Guess how we voted? Guess how we voted in the Bracken family way back when? We're Democrats. Irish Catholics voted Democrat, East Coast mostly. I know my mom's like, no, we weren't. We were Republicans. All right, but I'm sure. The point is, make sure you vote. Vote the issues and know what people believe, because otherwise you're going to lose your freedoms. You're going to lose your liberty in America. Canada, you can't even read the word of God in Canada anymore. Did you know that? You cannot go to a street corner and read the word. It's called a hate crime. You can't even preach against homosexuality. You can't preach against pedophilia. No, like they're starting to call that a preference. It's demonic. It's demonic. So I've rabbit trailed. We must live in freedom. We must live in the freedom Jesus provided for us. Die to sin. Everybody say, die to sin. Romans 6. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, so that it obeys its evil desires. Do not offer part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God for those who've been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. It's interesting when you read that. We have a choice. You're not a robot. The theologians call the tree in the Garden of Eden the glory of man. There's two trees that surround all of history, that history surrounds: the tree in the Garden of Eden and the tree of Gethsemane. The cross. It's interesting how Adam and Eve chose to sin, but Jesus didn't sin when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Somebody said, if I just had everything perfect, I'd live for God. No, not true. Adam and Eve had it all, and they still sin. Jesus had none of that, and he said, not my will, but your will be done. You can fulfill the plan of God. You do not have to yield to your lustful cravings and desires. You can be born again, filled with the Spirit. You can die to sin, and you can live for God every day of your life. A lifestyle of repentance, continually being changed, continually being sanctified, daily reckoning the death and life of Jesus in your body, in your life. You don't have to be bound. You don't have to be addicted. You don't have to be some sort of a double-minded freak. We've seen enough of that. I'm trying. It's a choice. Secondly, Philippians 4, turn there. So you don't have to sin. You're not a slave to sin. If you're born again, you're no longer a slave to sin. Galatians talks about living from your spirit, not your fallen human nature. Philippians 4, guard your heart and mind. Let me read this to you. Thank you, worship team, if you would. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is how I learned this. I was taught this years ago, and it just has worked. All these years now, I first gave my life to Jesus, I think it was 1992. That's a while ago. And somebody taught me, if you're ever anxious, that is the indication that it's time for a prayer meeting. I'm like, well, what do you mean? And then they took me to this scripture. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Don't be, verse 6, don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, thanksgiving, make a request unto God, and the peace of God. The peace of God and anxiety, the peace of God is eliminates all anxiety. If I had a show of hands, I could just feel it in the spirit, but I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. If you struggle with anxiety, I would highly advise you up your prayer life, because what will happen is you will no longer be anxious. God will come with his peace like a river. He will guard your heart, literally your heart. If you give yourself to anxiety, then you're opening up your heart for a full blast attack. When you have anxiety, you're leaving your heart wide open. He's going to take sucker punches on you. Well, what do I do? I worry. Get the word of God. Push back the worry. Begin to pray. Take your thoughts captive. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are praiseworthy, good word for you. Think on these things. So what if it's not good? Don't think on it. Imagine that. What if it's not noble? Also, don't think on that. What if it doesn't fit in the category? Flush it. Everybody say flush it. Flush it. Let me just allow this stuff to swirl. Oh my gosh, it's like swirling around in your mind. Stop. Stop it. Stop that thing and pray. Say, God, give me peace. Lord, give me peace. You can control your thoughts. You're a spirit with a body, not a body with a spirit. You are not being run by somebody. You are alive to God. And when you're alive to God, you have liberty, you have freedom. You do not have to go the old way that your mama went, that your father went, the way that you used to go. You can live a different life. You have to change the way you think. You have to renew your mind. You've got to learn to think differently. I mean, you should see some of the crazy things I've done over the years. I mean, full on, like yelling at myself, stop it, stop it, stop it. Lord, I love you. Oh, no, you got, shut up. Oh, God, you're amazing. You're going to work at it. No, he's not. Shut up. No, that's real warfare. I mean, don't look at me like that. The only reason it looks weird is I'm calling out to God and you just let the enemy speak to you. So stop. Stop it. Stop. He sets you free. Take it. Take your freedom. Take your liberty in Christ. It's yours. Better than any 4th of July. Thank God for our nation. But better than any 4th of July is the liberty and freedom that our Lord and Savior came. To die on a cross, to rise again from the grave so that you could be set free from the yoke of bondage, so that you could be delivered from the hand of the enemy, so that you could be sanctified and set apart, washed. Washed in the blood. I've been cleansed from sin. Yes, I have. I've been made new. I've been made new. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are noble, think on these things. Be anxious for nothing. You've been set free. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Literally, there's truth waiting for you to know that if you don't know it, if it's not illuminated to you, then you will not live in the freedom that's been purchased for you, and then you live far beneath the God-given, blood-bought right that Jesus has come for you and me. You live beneath that because you don't know the truth. You've heard the truth, but you haven't actuated it into your thinking and pushed it down into your heart and begin to really believe it. I am free in Jesus. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I have no written record before God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm a man on purpose. I'm called. I've got a vision from God. He's bringing it to fruition. Oh, I cannot be stopped no matter what weapon might be formed against me. It just won't prosper. I'm going to overcome all the days of my life. I'm going to testify by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I will move forward. I will hear the word of the Lord. It says, this is the way ye walk in it. I will not move to the right or the left. I cannot be stopped. God is with me. Resurrection power working on the inside. The devil is underneath my feet. He has no authority in my life. He has no authority in my family. He has no authority in this church. He has no authority. I strip him of all authority by what Jesus has done, for the Son has came and set me free. He has come and brought glorious liberty. Come on, somebody shout to God. Stand up on your feet all across this place. Come on, shout to God, shout to God, shout to God, shout to God. Come on, somebody say, I'm free. All right, sit down. I got two more points. I'm almost done. One more point, last one. Live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Live in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a choice. The psalmist said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. That's not, you're anointing me with fresh oil, although you can find that in other places. He anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. What happens if you lost your cup? You need a new one. He'll even give you a new cup. What if your cup is cracked? He'll give you a new one. He's come that we'd have liberty. You do not have to be in bondage anymore. Thank God for the United States of America. And thank God for Jesus Christ, who's a great liberator of us all. Live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Put your hands together for God one more time. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but we're also going to get cracking on these water bottles. But let me just do this. If you feel that you've come into this place and you've got a bondage and you want to get rid of it, now I in no way want to embarrass anybody. But because of my background and how I came in this church in 1992, many altar calls were given just like that. If you have a bondage tonight, you want to get rid of it. You want to get set free. You feel like there's an oppression over you, or you have sickness or some infirmity and you want to be healed. There would be altar calls all the time. We will never not have altar calls because your pastor here has been set free in altars and is sitting in the pew hearing powerful messages and learning the word of God too. Yes, and in prayer, all these things. But I want to pray for you. If you're struggling and you've got a bondage or there's an oppression or one of the things that used to happen to me is overwhelming, violent thoughts. Like I'd lie down and go to sleep and I would just see the most horrible things. And I'd have to wake up and go, no, in the name of Jesus, what is wrong? And it wasn't like I went and watched a movie. It would just be this stuff that would enter my head. I had to fight against that. That's demonic. That's demonic. If you have ongoing thoughts of violence and accidents in your mind, and you have to be like, oh, yeah, it's demonic. Ongoing thoughts of fantasy and perversion and all that. It's demonic. You got to break that off. So I just am so ashamed. Don't be ashamed. It's the devil. He's the one that's a dirtbag. He'll do whatever he can. You know what's terrible is to hold on to it. That's what's terrible. You don't have to hold on to it. You can leave free tonight.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.